By now you might have heard of a thing called the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. But to give you some idea if you haven't, it's basically this large vortex in the center of the Pacific Ocean, where scientists have discovered that over time, a bunch of trash, mostly plastic, has accumulated.
In the North Pacific, is the movement in the water is circular, forming an spiral that is going inward and deep, slightly in the center. And in the center is the higher pressure in all the area. In this way is how is the trap all the debris, all the marine debris. Could be natural, could be, like in this case, plastic.
That's Lorena Rios Mendoza. She's an assistant professor of chemistry at the University of Wisconsin-Superior. Her focus is in environmental chemistry pollution, and she spent a lot of time studying the plastic that's accumulated in the North Pacific.
The ratio that was reported in 2001 is 6-to-1 ratio. This means 6 kilos of plastic by 1 kilo of natural food. And it's because, you know, in this area in the ocean, the food is in lower concentration. But and then they repeated the analysis close to the California coast, and the ratio was 2-to-1. This means 2 kilos of plastic against 1 kilo of food. And then this means the concentration of plastic is very high in the ocean.
While the ratio of plastic to natural food like plankton is very high, most of the plastic isn't necessarily that obvious to the human eye when you're out there. I think most people, when they hear, you know, Great Pacific Garbage Patch, they kind of have this vision in their mind of like floating plastic. So maybe tell us when you're out there, what does it look like?
It's not like you see a lot of garbage in the ocean. No, you can see it by naked eye, just huge buoys and or really big junk of plastic is that you can see by naked eyes. But if you see just the water, it's just beautiful water, blue water. But and then later when we take the sample, you can see the microplastic. And the microplastic is defined by whatever fragment of plastic equal or lower to the 5 millimeters. And normally we can see it a lot of plastic in this size or a little bigger, maybe 1 centimeter. But it's small but naked eye, you cannot see it.
And the oceans aren't the only places where this is happening. There's also evidence that microplastic is accumulating here on the Great Lakes as well. Lorena led a study this past summer on Lake Superior and also on Lakes Erie and Huron to get a better idea of the problem.
The hypothesis is that we can find plastic everywhere. I say, I don't think the Great Lakes are the exception. And I'm starting to checking in the areas and the beaches and shores what's going on with the plastic. And most of the people tell me, you know, Superior is so clean. And I don't think you can find something or a lot of plastic at least. But no, surprisingly, I found microplastic, no microplastic in a lot amount, but I found small plastic, like a 2 centimeters, 1 centimeter on the beach and shore, that this means this is the source to this plastic that can finish in the lake.
You don't have to spend a lot of time wondering where the plastic is coming from. Just take a look around most stores and you can see the myriad of packaging, containers, cups, and bottles that are a normal part of our lives. As recently as 2010, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency found that in 1 year, the U.S. alone generated almost 21 million tons of these types of plastics. But only 8% of the total plastic waste generated that year was recovered for recycling. And the problem isn't just the plastic. Because of their small size, microplastic particles can concentrate more of these things called persistent organic pollutants, or POPs. POPs can be substances like PCBs from industry, pesticides from agriculture, and polyaromatic hydrocarbons from fuel combustion. POPs are persistent because they are resistant to environmental degradation, and exposure to them is known to cause serious health impacts, including cancer.
The problem is that this plastic carry these pollutants or these endocrine disruptors, and then they can transfer these compounds to the organisms. And now we have a more question, because and then what happened with the fish eating this plastic that contained this endocrine disruptor, And when the fish die, what happened with these kind of compounds? Are released in the same form or different form? Or when we eat at the fish, what happened with the endocrine disruptors? The problem is stop in the endocrine system of the fish, or when we eat it, this go to our endocrine system. That we don't know. We don't know yet what is the answer.
The good news is that so far on Lake Superior, things have stayed pretty clean. The size of our lake and the relatively small population around it help keep it that way.
Actually, I'm working with the fish in Lake Superior with the stomach to see if they are eating plastic or not. I have 110 samples and already I opened 10, and I can tell you I don't find any plastic. That is good, but I'm not sure. I need to work with 100 more samples. I would like to have the opportunity to search more to take more samples in the five lakes and to see really what's going on, a big picture of the problem here in the lakes.
Research on microplastics and POPs in the Great Lakes is still in its early stages. But as time goes on, more and more resources are being aimed at coming up with solutions, and more attention is being paid to the potential impacts on the lakes.
I think in general, the scientific community is working on this problem. That is good. The first thing was, you know, to show to everybody that we have a problem with the plastic. Now it's okay. The second is what we can do it. And the first step, I think, is to stop the source, and we are the source. The people need to think that maybe they don't see it, the plastic on the street or outside the home, but the plastic go most of the time finish in the ocean or in the lakes, and then we need to be just very, very careful with the plastic and just try to reuse the plastic in most possible. And if we don't need to use plastic, don't use it. That's it.
For the Lake Superior Project, I'm Kelly Schoenfelder. The Lake Superior Project is a production of WTIP Community Radio. Support for this feature comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Music and sounds in this feature were produced by Peter Elvin. For more information, visit WTIP.org/Lake Superior Project.